The practice of critically evaluating the sermons you hear preached, in contrast to just listening casually, can make you a better preacher. That's our key sentence for this SermonCoach.com podcast, and we welcome you. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, to Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, as a general practice, do you evaluate the sermons you hear other ministers preach?
Yeah, just habitual. I think my wife would prefer to be married to someone who didn't do that. I don't do it to be negative. I don't do it because I think that I know everything. I do it because I learn through that practice, and it's because I want people to listen closely and to evaluate what I say. So it's kind of just bred into me. I drove out here from Chicago, where I live, to Erie, Pennsylvania, where you live, and I heard two sermons on the way out. I felt like I evaluated them. I didn't know you were going to ask me that question, but I evaluated them. And I usually ask, what can I learn from this person? Learn spiritually, learn as a communicator. And then I ask myself, if this person hired me to evaluate his or her ministry, what might I say? I'll just talk about one sermon I heard on the way out. I hadn't intended to. It was a sermon on radio, and it was by an old-time broadcaster who has been on for many, many years and has had a very effective ministry. And when it was over, I thought, he's better than I thought he was. You know, that was kind of my feeling. And was it helpful to me? He was talking more about conversion, so in that sense, it wasn't helpful because I've been a believer for a long time. And then I asked myself that question, if this person came to me, and it's kind of funny when I put that person's name in there because that's never going to happen, but if this person came to me, I would say he would be a mainline evangelical speaker from the South. If he came to me and asked for help, what would I say? And I think I would say, you are very sincere in the way you come across, and that's a good thing. You are not a smart aleck or a know-it-all. You are not negative. If I gave you any critique at all, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I knew what the response was that you were asking for. It's kind of a hackneyed response in a way that I've heard many, many times, and there was nothing new or creative about it. But at the same time, it was very clear. And if I would say anything, I'd say, use some other expressions. I've heard those same words so many times that they're almost meaningless. If you could use some fresh words, that would be helpful to you. I would say that in all respect because I think this is a good person. And I think his ministry has been longstanding and has helped an immense number of people.
Do you have other examples you could share with us?
I listen almost without fail to two sermons a week from where I live, just in terms of my own church relationship. So I hear those all the time. I would say that I have various responses. I recall a message I heard about 3 or 4 weeks ago by a Cuban speaker whose style is totally different from mine. He is Hispanic and speaks very loudly, to his credit, with an incredible passion. I don't think I've heard anyone speak with the passion this gentleman has. It's a little bit hard for me to listen to because of his accent and because I'm getting older and a little bit hard to hear. But at the same time, I would say this is a person I never tire listening to. He is always having something fresh and new and very vital to him and most of the time to his audience. He's speaking to a group of people who are either non-Christians or to a large degree new Christians. So I'm the odd person in the group. He talked about how God builds a protective fence around you when you come to him. It is of the Holy Spirit. I can't remember his text, but he was saying the Holy Spirit builds those fences to keep you out of trouble. And then he gave numbers of illustrations of this kind of thing. And whenever you jump that fence, it's to your own detriment. You know, you got to be careful. Stay inside. You may not know why the fence is there, but believe me, it's good for you. I'll remember that for a long time. I remember thinking I was going to say something negative about a person, and I kind of stopped and thought, I wonder if I'm jumping the fence here. And I didn't know for sure whether I was or not, but I didn't want to take a chance, so I just left it alone. And I thought, praise the Lord, that was a good message. You know, he said it in a way that got my attention. It was a whole new concept in my mind that I could see the Holy Spirit putting in these tent pegs all around and putting the thing and stringing the barbed wire and everything. You know, you got to stay inside of his fence. So that was a very, very good time. And if he asked me, what would you say to have me do it differently? I'm not sure what I could say to that person. He speaks in a way that is totally unbeknown to my own preparation way of doing things. And in some ways, that makes it more interesting to me. So that's a good thing. I heard another speaker recently who spoke was a woman, and she was not a preacher. Wow. I mean, the normal way you think of a preacher, she was quiet, she was feminine, she was incredibly articulate. I came away with the impression that she was smart as could be. I also found that beyond her voice, there was a voice of God that was speaking to me in a very deep, deep way. I said to her afterward, "You have an unusual gift. I don't understand it. I can't duplicate it. But it is a very strange thing. It's like you reach deep inside of someone and you very gently massage them and work out the bumps and the lumps that are in there. I'm praying for you because I don't know anyone who is gifted like you are in that regard." Her response was, "Well, I thank you because I think the Lord is opening doors for me." And I said, "Well, that would be wonderful. It would be wonderful." And she said, "Do you have any suggestions for me?" Because she knew the kind of work I was in. And I said, "Let me think about it, and I'll get back to you," which I did. And I set up a luncheon with her, and Karen went with me. In fact, I took Karen to where this person speaks, and I heard her the second time because I wanted Karen to hear her. Partly because I said to Karen, "That's what you do when you speak. I don't think you know this, but there's a way in which you touch people, and they don't know how to defend themselves against you, in a way." I remember speaking at Asbury Seminary. My wife and I were going down there. And I spoke, and I did it was their big preacher's conference, and the whole gym is jammed with people, and I preach one of my real, real good sermons, you know, and they had heard it all before, and it was fine, and they received me well. And then the next thing was Karen was on, and I was sitting next to the president of the seminary, and the preaching prof was on my other side. Karen talked, and she always says, "I'm not a preacher, I'm more a storyteller," and she got talking, and the guy in my I got out of hanging. He was not wiping his nose. He was wiping his eyes. And then pretty soon I realized there were people all through the audience who were crying. And I thought, how in the heck did she do that? Just from a strictly communication vantage point. And she was telling a story. And the story was getting to them. And they were deeply touched emotionally. And she had said, "I'm not a preacher. I'm not trained. We have one theologian in the house is more than enough," she said. "I basically don't want you to hear me as a preacher. I want you to hear me as a writer and a storyteller." But I thought just from, we're all communicators in that sense. I thought, how in the world? And I could no more duplicate what she did that day because it's just impossible for me to do that. And that's what happened when I heard this other woman speak. She said she was thinking of going to seminary. I said, "You know what? Maybe it's not a good idea to go to seminary. Just think about it. And maybe you need somebody just as a coach or something. But the Lord has given you a very rare thing here, and he will open doors for you." But I learned, and I keep evaluating. I don't try to evaluate with a critical tongue. I try to evaluate and say, what can I learn? What am I capable of doing? Copying is not a bad thing. So that's just my responses as I think about it. But it's impossible for me to listen to somebody speak. I don't care who they are. Without evaluating it, that's just a curse of who I am, I guess. And I try not to let it become negativity.
So how do you keep from being negative when you hear a message that's really poor?
I remember all the mistakes I made in the past as far as things that I said that got back to people that were very hurtful to them. And I'm humiliated by that. I have also come to the place where I've spoken many, many times and it seemed like the Holy Spirit didn't show up. Mains was there, but the Holy Spirit wasn't there. And I thought this would be very appropriate and, you know, whatever, it wasn't received in the same way. I know that I'm not the greatest speaker in the world. Am I an effective speaker? I believe that I am. Do I love the Lord? Yeah, I do. Why is it that other people who speak on the same topics seem to have greater results than I have? I don't know. You know, and I'm not responsible for them. So in a lot of ways, I basically have come to the place where I say, you know, when David Maines passes on, the world will not know a whole lot who he was or what happened. Was he a good man? Yeah. Did he serve the Lord to the best of his ability? Yeah, he did. The axis of the world doesn't run through my life or my ministry headquarters, you know. A lot of times I get the feeling that the whole world is rotating in this person's mind around who they are and what they're doing. I don't feel that way. I also think that aging, it mellows you out. You're more careful what you say. You're not anxious to hurt people. And you also have a greater wisdom of saying, I could say this to that person, but they wouldn't hear it in the way I want to say it. And it really doesn't matter what I say because they're not going to hear it anyway. And yet there are some people who will hear. They are open. They are teachable. Because I am a good teacher doesn't mean that I necessarily can teach anybody. There are a lot of people I can't. And there are a lot of people who've never heard of me and they think, who's that smart mouth who thinks he knows everything, you know? It's just a part of learning and growing and I would say maturing in the faith and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit as to when you should say something and when you should not. I've had people who've traveled with me and I'll say, let's evaluate what we just listened to. And that evaluation process is very hard for them to do. They just somehow, it is against who they are. So I'll drop it and, you know, I'll just leave it there. There's almost a hyper sense of I don't want to say anything critical, and I can respect that. I also think that what I'm doing has value and it's a good teaching method. In a lot of ways, it's the ability to teach lessons without becoming too personal because you're talking about somebody that neither one of you are a personal friend with, and that conversation will never get out of that situation unless that person tends to take it out of the situation. So anyway, yeah.
What would you say to a pastor who seldom listens to other preachers?
I would say that you don't know what's happening in the world because the world is changing and there are all kinds of voices out there. One of the big problems with a pastorate is that you are so isolated into such a small little world that you don't understand what's going on. I was traveling the other day and I was listening to Relevant Radio, which is the Roman Catholic station out of Chicago, and it has a huge following. And I said to somebody, I listened, it was Father so-and-so, and I named him, and boy, you would have thought he was a evangelical through and through. Oh, you know, I get a terrible response from that because he's Catholic, because they've learned that all Catholics are wrong, and they've never learned that there may be a Catholic who certainly loves the Lord and has grown in his or her faith. And I thought, well, I'll just leave it alone. It still didn't change my mind. The guy spoke, it was Father so-and-so, and he gave a phenomenal message. It was very, very helpful, and I was saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I wouldn't have changed anything he said. I mean, it was all exactly what I believe. Now, if we talk long enough, would we find differences? Sure, we would. But on essentials and on this given topic, which was right to life, I thought, we're together in this, and I'm saying amen. And I'm glad for what you said, and I'm glad for your audience. It's huge, because we both come down on the very same side on this issue. So it was good. I think if the only person you've heard preaching for a long time is yourself and you're spending hours listening to your own tapes, I don't know, better get somebody else to listen with you and then see what their evaluation is. How's that?
Very good point indeed. The practice of critically evaluating the sermons you hear preached, in contrast to just listening casually, can make you a better preacher. We're so glad you joined us for our time together today. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We also have resources there, and we invite you to look through them. We intend them to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us when once again we meet for a SermonCoach.com podcast.